Good morning, church. As Lori said, my name is Emilio. I serve as one of the pastors here at Christ Central. And this morning, we're going to continue our series on the Holy Spirit. This is a series that I've been excited about ever since I first saw it on our preaching calendar. Because the Holy Spirit is not someone we talk about a lot in church. Because he is not someone we know a lot about. Chances are we all have differing views on the Holy Spirit depending on how you grew up or what church you grew up in. But that is why it is so important for us to spend time getting to know him and getting to know his role in this story of redemption that stars God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So far in this series, we have talked about the Spirit as the helper, the Spirit as the companion, and the Spirit as the sanctifier. And this morning, we will dive into Scripture, and we'll talk about the Holy Spirit as the guide. So if you have your Bible, would you turn to the Gospel of John? We'll be in chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And if you're able, I want to invite you to stand for our custom here at Christ Central as we hear God's Word together. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much this morning. You meet us in your word. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us in it. Jesus, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Do you remember that trendy question that men on TikTok were asked last year, one that Pastor Daniel even mentioned in one of his sermons? The question, "Men, how often do you think of the Roman Empire?" Men were saying once a week. They were saying a couple times a month. If you asked me the question, my answer was and still is never. I don't think about the Roman Empire unless I'm watching Gladiator or, and this is my pastoral answer, reading the book of Romans. I don't think about the Roman Empire. I'll tell you what I do think about. I think about the explorers of old. I think about Magellan. I think about Marco Polo. I think about Lewis and Clark. I think about those who went on the Oregon Trail and were guided by the stars and were willing to fail, even if it meant accidentally succeeding. Here's to you, Columbus. I'll ask myself and I'll ask my wife, "Do you think that I could have done that?" And she says, "No." But it's amazing for me to think about how far we've come just in my lifetime. How in the last 40 years, we have gone from having an atlas behind the driver's seat to printing out directions from Yahoo Maps to having Garmin to having a GPS on our phone and in our car. It's amazing to think about that. And why do we have those things? Well, we have them to lead us, to guide us on how to get from point A to point B. But what's interesting to my 9-year-old Caleb is the fact that not only do we see the quickest way, but often we'll see two other ways that are typically a lot slower than the first way. And we were driving back from DC recently, and he asked, "Dad, why would anybody choose one of those two other paths?" And I said, "Son, because people are crazy." No, I told him because sometimes people enjoy a more scenic route or sometimes people want to avoid the interstate or they want to avoid tolls. But the key truth in all of this and the lesson that I wanted my son to know and that I think is important for all of us to know is that there is more than one way to get from point A to point B. In regards to that truth, Tony Evans, in his book on the Holy Spirit called The Promise, says this: The Christian life is like that. He's talking about a map. God is leading you from point A to point B, but he has the big picture in front of him, and he knows all the roads that can take you there. The problem is that you can't see the big picture, and more often than not, God doesn't issue detailed maps. So it's easy to get confused, even lost, when you're trying to get to point B, because there are many ways to get there. And maybe one of the biggest reasons that we get confused or lost is because we are determined to do things on our own. In our sin, we are determined to go our own way, to go down our own path, to do our own thing, to trust our own self. We will trust the signs and read horoscopes. We will create pros and cons lists, going the direction that has more pros. We will trust our feelings. I often will talk to a high school student, and I'll hear them say something along the lines of, and they think they're quoting scripture by saying, well, God just wants you to follow your heart. To which I look at them and I say, no, he doesn't want you to follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. And luckily for us, in that call to follow him, that call to go from point A to point B in our faith journeys, we not only have a helper or a companion or a sanctifier, but in the Holy Spirit, we have a guide. In this passage this morning that we're spending time in, Jesus is talking to his disciples. This conversation is part of what is known as the upper room discourse. This is where Jesus and the disciples spent their last Passover together. This is the room where Jesus would set the ultimate example of what servant leadership looked like by washing the feet of his disciples. This is the room where Jesus would tell them that one of them, Judas, would betray him. It's the room where he would look at Peter, one of his best friends, and say, you will deny me not once, not twice, but three times before the rooster crowed. And this is also the room in which Jesus promises them the Holy Spirit. Pastor Daniel preached on the Holy Spirit as the companion a couple of weeks ago, preaching out of chapter 14. If you missed it, please check it out online. Check all the other sermons online. But this too was part of that upper room discourse. Jesus, when promising the Holy Spirit, promised the disciples that after his death, he would send the Spirit to be their companion, not only to remind them and reveal to them truth, but to give them peace. Jesus promises them peace, which is interesting to me because when you read chapter 15 after Jesus declares, I am the vine and you are the branches, he then tells them this in 15:18. If the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. Jesus is saying, well, you know how I've been telling you that the world hates me and how the world is actually going to hand me over to die? Well, this world is going to hate you too. To which I'm sure the disciples are sitting there saying, yay. And then chapter 15 concludes with Jesus saying, with Jesus reminding them, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then in chapter 16, Jesus continues to speak to his disciples, and we get to the verses that we read. This morning, church, I have 3 points. First, the Holy Spirit guides us according to God's will. Second, the Holy Spirit guides us by means of the truth. And third, the Holy Spirit guides us into Christ's glory. In regards to that first point, the Holy Spirit guides us according to God's will. There are 2 sub-points in regards to God's will for us. We're going to talk about his corporate or communal will, meaning his will for all of us. And we're going to talk about his will for the individual. But something that's important for us to remember in regards to this text is Jesus' audience, those whom he is speaking to. It's the disciples. He's not speaking to the Pharisees in these verses. He's not speaking to a crowd that is gathered. If we're going to be honest, he's not even speaking to you or to me. No, Jesus in the upper room is speaking to the disciples. He is speaking to the disciples in regards to the Holy Spirit, the helper, the companion coming to be with them after his death. So in John 16, verses 12 and 13, when Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The you is not you and me. The you is the disciples. So Jesus is telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to come and not only help them and be with them, but he is going to guide them. And why is that so important? Because of what Jesus tells them, that the Spirit will declare the things that are to come. Now listen to this. Dale Bruner, who wrote what I think is the commentary on the Gospel of John, mentions that these things that are to come is likely a reference to the events that would happen that coming weekend. How Jesus would be betrayed, arrested, abused, crucified, died, and be buried, only for him to rise from the dead on that eternally life-changing Sunday. Bruner says this: the Spirit will be crucio Christocentric, which means cross of Christ centered. And what Bruner is saying is that the Holy Spirit will focus, that he will be centered on the events of that weekend. Bruner continues by saying this center, again talking about Christ's life with an emphasis on the cross and resurrection, that this is the full revelation that the Spirit will keep giving the church as her perpetual guide into world mission. So what does that mean for the disciples? Well, Jesus is telling the disciples that the Spirit is going to guide them in regards to these events that are going to happen. But not only guide them, but guide them on how to guide others, specifically the church, in regards to these events. Jesus is letting the disciples in on his plan, not only for the weekend that he would die and be resurrected, but for his bride, the church. Jesus is letting his disciples know that God's will is for him to be handed over so that he could hand over the keys to the kingdom to the disciples. How? Through the Holy Spirit guiding them every step of the way. This is God's corporate communal will. So where do we fit in this? Bruner also mentions a second thing in regards to those things that are to come. Bruner says that the Paraclete Spirit will teach and give the church her longed for relevance in worship, speech, outreach, service, doctrine, and life. He's talking about us. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ, and the Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us through his word, through worship and missions in our life. God's will for the church is for us to be the church. And as we are praying and seeking guidance for our own point A to point B, if we think that the church isn't a part of that, then we need to reorient ourselves. Tony Evans says that the overarching goal of the Holy Spirit's guidance is to help us discover and do the will of God. And I believe that his will is to use the church to continue to share not only the story of redemption, but to share truth, the truth about Jesus, who in John 14 declares himself to be the truth. But what about God's will for us as individuals? That second some point is in regards to God's will for us. Tony Evans says in his book that there are three tiers to God's will. One, God's sovereign will, meaning this is the will which God mysteriously and majestically manages all the details of the universe. Two, God's moral will, that is in reference to the scripture, which we're going to talk more about here shortly. And then three, God's individual will for his children. In reference to all three working together, this is what he says: to experience the Spirit's guidance, you must be committed to all three tiers of God's will. That is, you must say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, because you are sovereign. I will search the scriptures to know the parts of your will that you have revealed to me, but I am also going to depend on you for guidance in my individual choices in life. I mentioned that just like a map, there are different ways to get from point A to point B in the Christian life. On our journey, we have to trust the guide. We don't have detailed directions, but the guide knows every single one. What happens if we make a wrong turn in this journey? Well, the Holy Spirit, like Siri on my GPS, redirects us. What if the road I choose takes longer? But then we trust, knowing that we will still get there. But perhaps when we do, we will just have more stories to tell others. We must be committed to the Holy Spirit, knowing that He is committed to God's will and committed to leading us in His will. There will be things that we don't understand, but we are called to trust Him. But one way for us to get a better grasp of His will for us as individuals and corporately is through the Scripture, through the Word of God, through the truth. My second point, the Holy Spirit guides us by means of the truth. Jesus, for 3 years in His ministry, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity in His ministry, he would teach the disciples. He would guide the disciples. He would equip the disciples, teaching them to do the work. And then He promises the Holy Spirit would come and be the one to guide them. But there's an important detail in verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will, and listen to this, He will guide you into all truth. Another translation of verse 13, instead of saying He will guide you into all the truth, says He will guide you by means of the truth. So when Jesus says that the Spirit of truth will guide you by means of the truth, Jesus is saying to the disciples that He speaks for me, for I am the way and the truth. Whatever He hears from me, He will speak to you. The things that are to come, He will prepare you for based on what I have said to Him. He's letting the disciples know that the Spirit will remind them of the things that they have seen. That He will guide them in their writings, in their preaching, in their missions. He's letting them know in this moment that the Spirit will not only come as a companion, but will guide them in all things according to His authority, according to His truth. And the truth is that He guides us in the same way. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1, 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." For you and for me, the Word of God is the truth that we can hold on to. The Spirit guides us according to the Word of God, according to the truth. Now, I do want to make one thing clear. The Spirit guides us by means of the Word, but that does not mean the Word always has direct answers for us. When my family and I were praying about moving to Durham, there was not a verse in Galatians that said, "Thou shalt move there." We prayed and we felt the Spirit guiding, God calling us to Durham. But one way that the Spirit does guide us by means of the truth is us knowing that the Spirit cannot and will not contradict what the Word says. I'll give you an example. We are in a presidential election year, and we live in a city that is painted blue, but in a state that bleeds red. And soon we're going to see signs posted on neighbors' lawns declaring who it is they are supporting. Soon we will see people on social media, keyboard warriors, commenting or posting or attacking one another based on who the other says they are voting for. Often I will read things that people write attacking someone's walk with Jesus, judging them, borderline hating them, and I often will see retaliation as a result of this. Yet this is all done without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I know this because Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven." The Holy Spirit cannot contradict the Word. He cannot contradict the Son who gives the Spirit authority to speak. And the guide is not limited to politics. In your faith journey, if you're praying about where you should work, how you should handle a situation, where you should live, who you should be dating, and you get a sense of doing something that contradicts the word of God, then you can bet that it is not the Spirit guiding you in that. If you feel like you're being called to ignore your neighbor, to hate your enemy, to ignore God's will, then you are not being called by the Spirit, but you're being influenced by the flesh and the world around you. No, the Spirit will only speak according to the Son. He will only lead according to the will of God, and His authority comes from Christ. The Holy Spirit guides by means of the truth, and Jesus Christ is and forever will be that truth. And because the Holy Spirit guides by means of the truth, by Christ's authority, we can hold on to this truth. My third point, the Holy Spirit guides us into Christ's glory. John 16, verses 14 and 15. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Christ is ultimately glorified because what the Spirit makes known to us, most clearly known to us, what he most reveals to us is Christ's glory through his death and resurrection. The Spirit makes known that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah who came to rescue and to save those who are His. The Spirit glorifies Christ so that we might fall more in love with Him. A couple of years ago, Central Youth, we had our first ever Durham Plunge, which we now call In the City. And the heart behind this trip in the city is to come alongside our Central Youth friends as they serve and prayerfully fall more in love with the city of Durham. Just a plug, sign-ups will open soon for those, so parents, check your emails. But in years past, what we've done is we've partnered with different nonprofits in the area, doing everything from painting a room in the basement downstairs here at DNS to grilling out with our friends at Reality Ministry to making care packages with World Relief. And another thing that we did 2 years ago that I loved is that we went on a pilgrimage with Durham Cares, walking the streets of downtown Durham with a guide. We walked by familiar sights to all of us. We walked down streets that most of us had walked down. But this time, as we were walking, our guide was sharing to us the history of our city. And those streets, we learned that Paris Street, once known as Black Wall Street, had been the hub of African-American businesses and finances. We learned about the history of Haiti and its importance to, and its impact on Durham and the middle class. Things that we otherwise would not have known were revealed to us by our guide. We were able to see Durham in a new way that for all of us made us fall more in love with our home. The guide on this pilgrimage helped us to see the glory of Durham. And when we saw the glory of Durham, we fell more in love with it. In church, when we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, we fall more in love with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our guide who reveals to us all things that remind us of and point us to Christ's glory. The Holy Spirit is our guide who reveals to us truths that we maybe didn't know that ultimately glorify Christ. And if we're being guided by the Spirit as we are going from point A to point B, no matter the twists and turns, the stops and bumps, or how long it takes for us to get there, we can trust that God's will is being done and that point B of our journey will be Christ glorified. But church, I admit to you that it's not easy, that what's been said this morning in regards to how the Spirit guides is just a small part of this whole story. No, the truth is that it's not always crystal clear on how exactly the Spirit guides us. But I will say that to be guided by the Holy Spirit, to experience the Holy Spirit, you need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. And that is a connection that comes from the inside out. Church, I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about a relationship. specifically a relationship that comes from within, a relationship with Jesus. Our connection to the Holy Spirit is through the one who sent him. Church, it's not a coincidence that between telling the disciples in chapter 14 of John a companion was coming, in chapter 16 that a guide was coming, that Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. Connect to me. We are connected to the Holy Spirit through our connection with Christ, who gives us access to the Father through his death and resurrection and gives us access to the Holy Spirit by his authority. Church, the more intimate your relationship with Christ, the clearer you will hear the voice, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the one who guides us according to the will of God by means of the truth, who is the Son of God, so that he, church, will be glorified. Let me pray. Jesus, we praise you this morning that you meet us in your word. We praise you that you send one to guide us according to the Father's will by means of your truth, that ultimately you, Jesus, will be glorified. We pray this in your name. Amen.